reading from Ms. Disbaugh and Ms. Frank. There is no singular tradition associated with earth-centered spirituality, and it is impossible to say much that is categorically true for all who identify their religious past as such. Even under the umbrella of Unitarian Universalism, even the word pagan is complicated for some. It refers to the religious traditions of old Europe, Greece, and Rome. For others, it means any tradition outside the Abrahamic big three, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. For still others, it refers to the indigenous religions around the world where women and the earth are still honored. Many Unitarian Universalists have reclaimed the word pagan to some extent. We have learned that the original word paganus simply meant country person, those folks out there, the farmers, whatever. As Christianity spread, it became strongest in the cities, and the country people often kept to their own and their own traditions. So pagan or country person gradually became a derogatory term for non-Christians. But what unites everyone with different belief systems and practices who identify with either of these terms within Unitarian Universalism, broadly stated, we place a special emphasis in our spiritual lives on the feminine aspects of divinity, the cycles of nature, the honoring of our ancestors, and the inherent divine and creative potential in all people. There is a meaningful overlap between this last idea, what we might call the internalization of religion, and the values, culture, and the beliefs of Unitarian Universalism. Pagans speak of the god or the goddess within each of us. We practice a religion that places divinity within each of us. Myths are accepted as ways of telling the story of our inner journeys. Each person is encouraged to explore their own experience and to find that the basis for values and commitments. Since the divine is experienced as internal, it is described in female as well as male terms. Folks who call themselves pagan or earth-centered tend to believe that just as the divine is within human beings in the shape of our creativity, so too it is immanent in all nature. And like Unitarian Universalists, we see ourselves as interdependent or connected with every part of the natural world. We place particular spiritual value on celebrating the cycles of nature, the seasons, the waxing and waning of the moon, the life stages of human beings. We have returned to the more ancient awareness of religion as the way to affirm our position within the cycles of the natural world. Thank you.
I ride in upon a baby's cry. Part mini roar, part soul song, lifting its voice as a way of unabashedly announcing its entry into the world. From their winter slumber, I wake the animal kingdom, welcoming them to a rebirth into a world teeming with new life. I urge the flowers to begin to open, to transform the landscape with their vibrant colors. I am spring, a time of the spring equinox, also known as Astara. I am a celebration of new life, of colorful eggs, the fertility of rabbits, of hope and beginnings. Speaking of beginnings, Unitarian Universalist and pagan Margot Adler, who's also a journalist for NPR, writes, "When I was 5, I asked my father what religion we were. An atheist from a nominally Jewish background, he told me, 'We believe in the brotherhood of man.' Now, this did not cut it for a 5-year-old. Particularly when my best friend got to put on her white dress and have Holy Communion. Feeling she was getting a much better deal, I wanted to be Catholic. Meanwhile, my mother was also saying, 'You're Jewish.' And my father was saying, 'No, we're not.' So I came from a background of religious confusion. Then two things happened that really affected me spiritually. First, when I was 10 years old, our entire class went out very early on May 1st to the country house of our teacher's sister. We had learned all these medieval May Day carols, and as the sun rose, we started singing them and picking flowers. And then we danced around the maypole, and I became a ritual junkie for life. Then we studied ancient Greece for the entire 7th grade. Now, this was in 1957, and there weren't a lot of powerful images of women in society to help young girls think about who and what they wanted to be. But I was reading about Armistice and Athena, these incredible Greek goddesses, and I decided way down deep I didn't want to worship them. I wanted to be them. They were the most powerful images of confidence and inner strength I had seen in the society I was growing up in. But by the time I was 14, I realized you do not go around worshiping the Greek gods or pretending you are them without ending up in a mental hospital. So I hid this stuff in psychic storage, you might say, and went on with my life." And that was Margot Adler, and she says eventually she reconciled her beliefs with her life, and from this beginning grew a faith that was rich and personal. All of us have beginnings, the spring of our lives, a time when we are formed into what we are, made from the clay of nature's hand and the influence of our parents, siblings, friends, even enemies. We are born onto this earth not as blank canvases, but each unique pieces of nature's handiwork, ready to blossom, bloom, like spring flowers. But the important thing to remember is the springtime of our lives is not just for the young. Spring, which rolls around every year, spring can re-emerge in our own lives by keeping in touch with our beginnings, with what affects us most deeply. Spring is not just for the young. Beginnings are for all. And now let us sing. Entice the sun to shine with all its might, lengthening the days, shortening the nights. I sing my song to the natural world, inviting it to reach its peak, though sometimes my heat hangs so heavily, flowers and humans droop in its intensity. For humanity, my time of great shining is an invitation to savor life, to answer the call of life's work. I am summer, the time of the summer solstice. U.U. Wesley Hildebrand says, "Unitarian Universalism has taught me to question and challenge the status quo set for us by the standards of our society and government. This is reflected in my everyday life, taking my place in the world to try to make a difference. A key principle I learned as a Unitarian Universalist is inclusivity and equality for all living beings. For me, as a pagan, this means all that is living. My pagan heart and roots hold tightly my love for a healthy earth. The earth is my church and my home. My being is called to be a force for changing the systems we use today that are destroying our environment and our planet." Hildebrand has answered the call of summer, the call to fill our days with purpose, meaning. Do you remember how long the days of summer seemed when you were young? Seemed like one day could last an eternity. So full of both adventures and boredom at once, but stretching endlessly out before you. So too can the summer of our lives seem. Those middle years, finding spouses, raising families, working at a profession, answering that call to make meaning of our lives. Summer can seem like it will last forever. But of course it doesn't. No day, no season is forever. We have to savor each one while we can, for the earth ever turns. And now let us sing. The trees in brilliant colors, and the touch of chill in my breath turns the air crisp and clear. I sing the lullaby to the natural world, and much of it begins to temporarily fade away as animals and humans prepare for the approaching winter. With my sweet but mournful song, the reality of death hangs in the air. I invite all into a time of remembering what is lost along the way, including honoring ancestors and loved ones who have died. I am autumn, the time of Samhain. Lifelong Unitarian Universalist Jan Ogren writes of her early childhood religious perspective. "I wasn't sure what being a Unitarian Universalist really meant. I knew I was supposed to search for truth and meaning, our fourth principle, and that the first source of that knowing was direct experience. The only problem was that my direct experience of the world seemed quite different from that of other people. I first realized this when I was 5 years old and playing tag with the neighborhood children. We were using a young elm for our home base. A boy made a dash for the tree to avoid my friend Sarah, who was it. He laughed as he stood safely under its shade, and reaching up into the tree, he casually ripped off a branch, swung it around a few times, and then tossed the branch aside. I stood there immobile with shock. My right arm throbbed with a deep pain as I looked at it. There was a jagged scar on the trunk where the tree had tried desperately to hold onto its limb. With tears streaming down my face, I went searching for my mom. She assured me the tree would be okay and that my dad would seal off the wound so that it could grow new branches. What worried me was the undeniable fact that I was fundamentally different from my peers. It was as impossible for me to rip a branch off a tree as it was to cut off my own hand. Such an idea, such pain, perhaps comparable to the pain of losing someone through the seeming finality of death. The autumn of our lives, marked by memories of sorrow and loss, by the winds of change and the creeping approach of shadows. But who's to say there's not beauty in autumn? And where I come from, the trees change their colors so boldly. Scarlet and gold and red and orange takes your breath away. At last, hurrah, before they find their way to the ground, leaving the branches bare and waiting for new life. There's beauty even in loss. For me, I think the beauty is in the caring. That we care enough to feel, to notice the loss. I think it's when loss doesn't matter that we know we've gone wrong. Autumn reminds us that our hearts should be tender. That's what makes us human. Tender hearts that make us all the more able to see the beauty amidst the sorrow. And now let us sing. I shorten the days and lengthen the nights. My breath chills the air, and in my darkness I usher in memories of humanity's hurts, its wounds. But I also wrap all living things in the cloak of my velvet night. Invite them to rest, to prepare for what will come. I have stripped the trees of their leaves now, and they wait, waiting for new possibilities to spring to life. I am winter, the time of the winter solstice. How many times have we found ourselves at a crossroads in our life? When the vibrancy of what has come before is gone. When it seems like our access to the light is minimal and we must find our way through the darkness. Not that darkness is bad. It's just different than the light. It invites us to slow down, to reflect, and not just reflect on what was brightly colored, but what might also be bleak in our mind's eye. To reflect on failures, on loss, on what might have fallen away somewhere in the seasons of our lives. But this time of reflection is not forever. There will be a dawn, and soon the days will grow longer again. But more than that, the time of darkness of reflection invites us to know ourselves better, to stop, to pause, to take action to warm ourselves from the cold, to know that we are part of a cycle, an individual cycle unique to each and every one of us, and a communal cycle we all share, the cycle of the earth, of nature, of the sun, the moon. And to know the cycle will continue. The sun will rise, the sun will set, the moon will forever circle us, time will march on, and our lives are just a momentary speck of sub-cycles in this greater cycle. Soon someone will die. Soon someone will be born. Soon someone will experience sorrow. Soon someone will experience joy. And none of this knowledge that we're caught up in this great cycle, none of this knowledge should disempower us. Our submission to the greater cycle of life itself is not our weakness, it is our strength. For we are strong when we lean into the cycle of life. Rather than resisting the realities of the springs, the summers, the autumns, the winters, all that we will encounter, how much better life is when we lean into those realities. How much more we will feel. Yes, the losses may hurt more keenly, at least initially, when we acknowledge them openly. But how much greater the joys of life are for having felt the losses. How much richer life is for having acknowledged its continual turn, turn, turn. Somewhere, a baby cries, lifting its voice as its way of announcing its entry into the world. This is spring, and the cycle of life begins again.